This episode was recorded in September 2020.
Everything seems to be working fine. We will be able to start, and there we are.
You probably need Steph for the Steph episode, though.
Oh, she's not here. Shit. Why?
No.
Why is she not here?
Did anybody tell her that?
We're getting a typing.
Typing.
Oh, yeah, she's typing.
Typing Steph.
The Australian accent's going to be uncanny for me.
So now there are more Australians than any other
representation.
Single nationality.
Yeah, this is going to become an Australian show now.
Yep. That's kind of fitting because the first guest I invited for the podcast was the admin from Cheatpostbot 5000, who is Australian. And the mascot of the Mojito Expanded Universe is Daryl Robinson, which is another Australian.
Oh, I didn't realize he was Australian. Hello, Steph.
Hi.
So, I don't know if we're going to keep this or if it's just, you know, a trial run. Just in case, we're going to do it as if this was a real episode because it may become one.
Wonderful.
So I am going to say, top text! Welcome everyone to Aneurysm, the top text podcast about memes, internet culture, and whatever else. Today is a special episode. We have a new co-host that just joined us, Stephanie. Stephanie, I'm gonna let you introduce yourself. You say whatever you want, whatever you deem relevant.
Okay, hi, I would say a meme enthusiast. A panic merchant and a part-time actress.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
What's a panic merchant?
I am a merchant of panic. I sell panic. I deal in panic. I deal in fear, anxiety, and quite commonly dread. I also occasionally peddle dread.
What is a basic unit of panic and, like, what's the starting cost at the low end?
Here's an example. Yesterday my shoulder hurt and I was like, okay, that's probably bone cancer. It's very advanced. I've got a week to live. And so if somebody comes to me with that, I'm like, yeah, you know what? You can have a full scale panic attack. And then, you know, it increases from there until, you know, they've got a black spot and I'm like flesh eating bacteria. It's all very level headed, pretty normal stuff, nowhere in the realm of crazy. So yeah, that's pretty much how it works. If you want, you know, a quote, you can DM me.
Okay. It's a case by case kind of thing.
Case by case. Yes. It's pretty bespoke. Yeah. If you wanted, you know, to have a panic attack about something ridiculous, then I could help you out. I'm your girl.
Okay, cool. I'll need your card later.
If you want a quote, don't hesitate to send us a DM. Our DMs are open on Instagram, Instagram.com, and our handle is Aneurysm Podcast. Did any of you prepare a conversation topic for today, or are we just raw dogging it like we often do?
I thought we should discuss what we usually discuss, which is hardened pedophiles.
Oh God, again?
Typical. Yeah, that's my only suggestion. If you have better suggestions, go ahead, I'll wait.
I had a conversation with some of my friends recently and I thought, you know what, this is a good one to remember, I might try and share it. What was your least favorite movie of the last decade, and convince us to dislike it as much as you can?
Oh God. Here's one that was hyped that I thought was shit, was Life of Pi. It was hyped so hard. It was meant to be such a great film, and like they had these like stunning cinematic trailers for it, and I thought it was just boring as fuck. I hated Life of Pi. I thought it was garbage.
Is it about the number or the dessert?
Number, P-I.
You know what is another movie from that same year that I would completely eat over and over again would be Cloud Atlas. Just wasn't into it. I think it's by the Wachowski sisters. Uh-huh. It was just very sprawling and disjointed and also kind of not about anything at all.
Just like any other of their movies then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Looks like that is Hugo Weaving in it as well, just like every one of their movies.
Although, you know, the best Wachowski sisters movie that was like an epic failure at the box office was their start on an attempted Speed Racer franchise. I really enjoyed their Speed Racer movie.
I didn't watch it, but I played the video game that was on Wii.
That was a video game?
And it was terrible.
Oh, man. I didn't even know that exists. I'm going to have to make a note of that.
I really enjoyed it.
It's about cars doing kung fu in very colorful environments.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
What's not to love?
Yeah.
What's not to love?
That sounds insane.
I did appreciate their debut work called Bound. It was pretty good. It was simpler. It was a small budget because it was their first film. And it was decent. Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Bound. When did it come out? That must have been in the early 90s or something?
Mid-90s, I would say.
Mid-90s, okay.
Are you saying it's a good movie?
I would say it's good, yeah. It's not exceptional, but it's like a solid 7.
Well, we're talking about bad movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, we're talking about movies from the last decade, so... Oh, yeah, I have one. And I have one that actually Lisa hyped me about, and she told me it was amazing. And it was actually the first conversation we ever had on this very podcast together 1 year ago, and that is Joker. I watched it and I really disliked it.
Stop it! It was so good!
Oh,
I thought it was extremely contrived and predictable, and like you could basically see everything coming a mile away. There was like no surprise, there was no subtlety. I kind of like the aesthetics, like the photography, it get good aesthetics visually. But, like, the writing was, in my opinion, extremely lazy and basic.
Ugh, such a pretentious fucking Frenchman. Can I be a wanky asshole for a second? Can I be like a theater wanky asshole?
Wank all over us. Just jizz all of your movie fan jizz right all over our faces right now.
It's not just that you can, it's that you have to.
Okay, great.
Go ahead.
What I loved about Joker personally was that in, like, I would say the first third of the movie, you really felt yourself feeling really, really sorry for him. And that made you feel uncomfortable as hell because you know what he does and what he turns out to be. And I think if you are inadvertently empathizing with someone and you know that you shouldn't, and you feel really uncomfortable and torn about the emotions that you're feeling about a film, I think that that script and that character is exquisitely written. I think it's written brilliantly if you're having that kind of emotional effect or reaction, sorry, about that character. That was my thought on Joker, and we slowly emotionally pulled away from him. He became less relatable, obviously. And I also liked the moments of discomfort where we as the audience are supposed to be observing this, but it's like we were in his head with him and we didn't know what was real. And it wasn't until later we realized certain things like his relationship and such had been imagined or had been hallucinated. And then it felt like a slap in the face for us as the audience. And I thought that that was brilliant as well. So I disagree. I thought the Joker was great and I thought it was really well written, and that's my wanky 2 cents on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's your opinion, man.
I guess we live in a society, guys.
And it really proves. I mean, if nothing else, take nothing away from it other than we live in a society.
Yes, that was the title of episode 15 of this very podcast. This episode, I don't know. It is definitely episode number. Yeah, it's, one day maybe I will, like, keep up with my own numbering system. Any other movie that was disliked by one of y'all?
Actually, because, you know, I haven't registered my opinion enough already. I actually, and I say this with a heavy heart, I disliked Mamma Mia 2. And I'm obsessed with Mamma Mia 1. I cannot get enough.
Oh, man, same.
I love it so much. And Meryl Streep is a goddess. But let me tell you, there are canon holes, plot holes in Mamma Mia 2, beginning with the fact that Meryl Streep's mum is dead. She's meant to be dead. And then she appears as Cher at the end of the fucking film. And I'm like, what happened to Meryl Streep's mum being dead? And like the order in which she met these men. And there were also things like, oh, they didn't even attempt to like age the photos that they have of young Meryl Streep. It's like, yes, this photo that was taken in the 70s is in HD. Like, I don't know. It just, I love Mamma Mia and I wanted to love Mamma Mia 2 so much, but there were just plot holes, and I fucking know about the Mamma Mia canon, so don't even at me about it. Mamma Mia 2, here we go again, just shouldn't have happened. Mamma Mia 1 was a masterpiece and it should have stayed that way.
Do you reckon they just made the second one just so they can use that here we go again pun?
Yeah.
Here we go again.
I love Abba so much that when I was 9 years old, I asked for a fucking Mamma Mia CD for Christmas. Abba. I got Abba Gold for Christmas when I was 9, and I clearly had a lot of friends. So, you know, I fucking love Abba, and I'm always down for more Abba, but they just ruined it.
Wasn't there just the same thing in Shadow the Hedgehog something? Where it's like he's dead and at some point he reappears. There's like Vector the crocodile who's like, hey, Shadow, wasn't he dead? And Sonic's like, yeah, but long story, but he got better. And like Vector is like, oh yeah, cool.
He just doesn't question it.
I like that kind of plot device. It's creative. It's fresh.
It's spicy.
I thought of a crappy movie.
Go ahead.
There's a movie called... I think it's called Now You See Me.
Oh, yeah.
About magicians. I thought it was trying to be way more than it actually was. Made it feel like there was this big twist ending, but really it was this like huge plot hole that they covered up using magic, and it just wasn't good. And also, when they made a sequel, they had this opportunity to make the title Now You Don't or something, like Now You See Me, but they just called it Now You See Me 2.
That's already the motto of the Unseen University in Discworld by Terry Pratchett.
Well, they missed that opportunity.
I haven't watched a lot of movies in recent years, so it's hard to find one that I really love or really hate.
What about TV shows?
One of my favorite recent shows is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What else? Oh, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, also one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, they just keep going, but it's good, in my opinion. Like, they don't really get dry. From what I've noticed.
Although there's this great show called Danger 5. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's so fucking good. It's really underrated in my opinion. Danger 5.
Apparently it's Australian.
Yeah, that's an Australian show, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's super weird. It's about a bunch of, like, I don't know, spies, I would say, or paramilitary people. It's set in World War II, and this little group of people who are always trying to assassinate Hitler for the count of the Allied army. It's really weird, because, like, it's set in World War II and stuff, but they all dress, like, in the 60s or the 70s, and it's just a bunch of weird shit happening. You've probably seen a meme. There's a GIF that is quite famous of this TV show, where there's one guy who's reading a magazine called Sensible Chuckle, and yeah, he chuckles at this desk from the show. It's very, very, very funny and underrated in my opinion.
So not to go there, but do you say GIF?
Yeah, GIF.
Okay.
Like, here we go.
Like you're wrong. Like you're wrong and that's bad, but it's fine.
Are you guys familiar with Jif peanut butter?
Yes.
I mean, I know yes. It's a brand. It's an American brand.
It's like you choose Jif. Choose Jif. That was their jingle all through the 90s.
And I can tell you that the format is named after the peanut butter brand, because the guy who invented the Jif images was a big fan of peanut butter, and he decided to name his format like this in honor of his favorite peanut butter brand, Jif.
I hope you know that it doesn't matter how many facts and logic you throw at me, I will still say Jif. Like that, I don't know. You can throw all the cases, you can give me statistics, you can give me legal figures. Jod himself could come down and tell me that it's Jif, but I still wouldn't fucking listen.
Wait, what do you want to call it?
Gif.
Gif? Okay.
One of the arguments I've heard for GIF is that it's pronounced graphical, not giraffical.
Yes, there we go. And there's my closing argument, Your Honor.
That's a moot point, because a lot of acronyms are not pronounced like the letters.
Oh, yeah.
If that was the case, LASER, which is an acronym, would be pronounced LASER. Scuba diving would be scuba or stuff. I mean, acronyms are never pronounced based on the individual words that they reference. So that's the first argument. The second argument is like word of God, like the creator of the GIF said it's pronounced the GIF. And third argument is that there is no rule in English that states how you should pronounce acronyms. So there is basically no correct pronunciation. So it's all a matter of opinion or even belief. If someone tells you this is how it's pronounced, they're wrong. Because there is no correct way of pronouncing it.
So you just keep jiffing your jiff, or giffing your giffy little heart out.
I mean, what is language but a human construct anyway?
I know a few people who pronounce it jife, and I quite like it actually.
Oh, what? Man, I'm going to start using that. It'll wind up so many people.
Ah, that was a neat jife you sent me.
Thanks for the jife.
That's real niffy.
Sharp as a jife, that one.
Maybe you saw that jife of this, this giant mecha Nazi robot with a chainsaw and breathing fire. That's also from Danger 5. Oh, yeah, also, did you say Agent Hitler FBI? That's also from Danger 5.
I'll have to watch it. I swear I've seen stuff about it, but I haven't watched it, so.
It's so fucking funny. It's so funny. The most recent show that I watched is Chernobyl, the HBO miniseries.
So good.
Which was so fucking good.
So good.
Really great.
Cannot rate highly enough. I loved it.
Yeah, same.
I loved the emotional response that it invoked. Fuck, the episode where they were like, wait, has anybody not seen it?
Me.
I've not seen it.
Okay, wait, maybe I shouldn't spoil it.
Why?
Does the reactor explode?
Spoiler alert, there's actually a nuclear disaster.
I've heard it might be based on real events.
Was the killer her dad?
The Titanic sinks.
Oh, fuck, you ruined it for me. Jesus.
Fuck, go watch it now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's quite close to the actual events. Yeah, it's not exactly, but pretty damn close there. I did a lot of research.
The horror that I felt in the first couple episodes when they were keeping the secret of how bad things were and just knowing that all these people, like you were seeing, were as good as dead. And that was like, oh, shit, like, holy fuck, that was pretty intense. And then the way that they handled it, I thought, just the whole way through, it was a fucking masterpiece. I thought it was an incredible show.
Yeah.
France managed to stop the radioactivity at the border.
Yep, that's correct. That's the Minister of Communication or whatever who said that French people should not be worried because we stopped the toxic radioactive cloud at the border.
Hello, it's me from the future. I'm editing the episode and I have learned recently that this is actually a myth. And I apologize for propagating it in the past without checking if it was true or not. So, the Chernobyl incident happened on April 26th of 1986. As you probably know, Russia did not say anything and tried to pretend it did not happen. But 2 days later, on April 28th, in Sweden, scientists noticed a dramatic increase of radioactivity in the air. So they called pretty much the rest of Europe to warn them. In some countries, especially Germany, people freaked the fuck out, which is somewhat understandable. The next day, on April 29th, a weather forecast said that because wind was blowing in the opposite direction, France should be protected for at least 3 days. Of course, it was just a forecast, and we all know how reliable weather forecasts are. So that is not much when you think about it. The problem with the government is not what they said, it's what they didn't say. For several days, they said nothing. They were not prepared on how to communicate on this, so what they did was to not communicate at all, which is a terrible mistake, and that opened a vacuum in the news where all sorts of crazy shit started being thrown and passed around. The other problem is that when shit started hitting the fan a couple days later was May the 1st, and that is Labor Day, the most important day off in France. So not a single civil servant was working that day, including the ministers. The government was closed, because May the 1st is quite the big deal here. And so later it was the Ministry of Agriculture that started talking about it, saying that radioactivity had been measured in the air and in the soil, and that the quantity of radioactive particles was way below the threshold of toxicity, and that the radioactivity would not cause any health issues because the radioactivity was way too low for that. According to everything we know now, that statement appears to be true. The radioactivity that was measured in the soil and in the air was higher than normal
normal, but still way lower than the dangerousness threshold. The whole thing about the radioactive cloud being stopped at the border was never actually said, and it was a myth that has been propagated by environmentalist shitheads and yellow journalists. So oops, my bad for talking about it in the past. I should have fact-checked first. I present you my apologies and will do better in the future. Now back to the show.
Oh, what did they ask it for a passport?
That's a very unfortunate event, because that's one of the reasons that there is so much distrust of experts and science in this country. It's pretty appalling. We are a country where it's like a lot of people think organic food is better and they're afraid of GMOs and vaccines and nuclear power. And that's one of the main reasons, like, when you start arguing with them, yeah, but, and they're like, yeah, but you remember when the government said that the Chernobyl cloud was stopped at the border? When they start saying this shit, you know that the conversation is gone and done. It is very unfortunate, but it's also funny to think about.
Like, what would have they done? Just use like, oh yeah, we got this giant fan and we just blew the radiation straight back at them.
Finally found an actual use for the Maginot Line.
We told the radiation it simply wasn't allowed across the border, and it said, understandable, have a nice day.
It didn't have its papers. It
didn't have its papers, and they were like, soz, like, we can't let you in.
You got a license for that radiation?
Immigration issue.
What's really sad about Chernobyl, though, is that, you know, you have to wonder, if it didn't happen, like, would we be running on nuclear power, and would we have far less global warming? If we hadn't all been put off from, and understandably put off by that, like, fucking disaster, would, you know, the climate be in a different place now? Would we be using nuclear power as a, you know, sustainable, renewable source of energy?
Yeah, very true. Very good point. As usual, I blame the press. I really hate the press and journalists in general, and I think they're mostly responsible for this mess, because they're always trying to dramatize everything and stir people up just to...
Chernobyl or COVID?
Oh, I was talking about Chernobyl, but, like, you could say that about a shitload of things. With COVID, surprisingly, they've been quite good about it. It's an exception. But I have to say that in the beginning, I thought that COVID was not a big deal and it was mostly bullshit, because I have such a distrust of the press.
Same.
That every time they try to hype up something, I'm like, oh no, that's bullshit again.
Same.
That time, it was not bullshit. And, like, it's the fucking story of the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
And I hate this.
I went to Malaysia, for example. I was like, yeah, now's the time to go traveling.
Plane prices were so cheap. I remember that. I was trying to tell you to be careful.
It was like a meme for a while, and, like, it was just funny.
Still is.
Yeah, still is. I remember I was sitting in rehearsal, I was doing a show, and then COVID cancelled the fucking show. But I remember looking at my phone, and it said that there'd been 50 cases in Queensland overnight. And I was like, oh, should we maybe be a little bit worried? And other people were like, no, like, don't be fucking ridiculous. But, yeah, we all, like, had to really slowly be like, oh, this is actually... Oh, shit. Okay. But before that, like, it just, there were so many posts of people who were nurses and things like that trying to calm us down in the beginning, being like, there's a lot more deadly things. Look at the number of people who have the flu, you know, and fucking idiots on the internet still cite those studies as if they're fucking relevant, as if, you know, thousands and thousands of people haven't died from COVID. And then we slowly all sort of turned in the other direction and were like, oh, actually, you should really be self-isolating and wearing a mask, especially from a country like Australia, who's so, I would say, laid back and a little bit, oh, she'll be right, like, don't worry about it. And having us all collectively be like, she won't be right and we do need to worry about it. Like, that real 180 that we had to pull on that was really interesting. And the presses, the press had to do that too, go from don't worry about it to actually you all need to be worrying right now. Now is the time for alarm. That was a really interesting shift.
Yeah. My own doctor, like, I started being freaked out by COVID in mid-January. There was this day where I went to the Chinese restaurant, because I love Asian food and I live in Chinatown. So I had a craving. I had a craving for, like, Chinese noodles. So I did get some Chinese takeout. And the next day, and for like a few days, I was really sick. I had a fever, respiratory symptoms, the whole nine yards. And while I was sick, was the first time I heard about COVID-19. I remember it was January the 20th. So I went to see my doctor a few days later, and I was like, "Doctor, I think I've caught COVID-19. And he was like, "Oh, nah, don't worry. There hasn't been a single recorded case on the French soil. It's all in China. It's not gonna come here soon." And I was like, "Oh, okay."
You should get your antibodies test.
Maybe. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, they should be able to see if you've...
I'm a COVID-19 contact tracer. Get your antibodies tested.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, no, now he's talked to all of us, and now we've got it.
Oh, God.
I don't know if it can be contagious over Discord.
But... transmittable through podcast.
We laugh about but I guarantee you that after we hang up, we'll be like, "Man, my throat's kind of sore. You know, I probably have coronavirus." I am international podcast coronavirus, the first ever case. Yeah.
I got trial vaccinated for COVID-19.
Hell yeah.
2 weeks ago, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
Unironically, thank you for your service. Really appreciated.
Anytime.
My grandma's, I'm worrying about her every day because she's got cancer and her immune system is pretty whack. Also, she's got some anemia recently. She was like, if she gets it, she probably would die really fast. So I'm very worried for her. I have a few friends and also a couple family members who are in the medical profession. Some are nurses, some are doctors. I realize how much overwhelmed the medical system can be, and like it can go from tense to absolute chaos in a day, because it's like a domino effect, you know? I am not really worried personally, because I always practice social distancing, and I've been doing it since before even the quarantine. I've been doing it since March.
You're just antisocial in general?
Not at all. It's a real burden for me. I'm very extroverted and social, and this is fucking me up, but you gotta do what you gotta do. I've worked in kitchens for a few years, so I already got that reflex of washing my hands very often, but now I wash them even more often, and like I tend to not approach people, and if I gotta talk to someone, I like take a few steps back. I speak softly to not project, you know, stuff, and I wear my mask all the time everywhere. Because of all this, I'm not really worried. Also, I've seen the latest statistics. Most of the people who've caught it at work. And there's almost no one who caught it, like, in the open.
My experience would say there's a lot of people that don't have jobs and stay home mostly who ended up getting it. So they might be getting it on, like, the bags that they get from the grocery store, you know, the person that touched whatever they're touching. Just, like, going through daily life, a lot of people that don't leave the house and don't work outside of the home are getting it all the time, so.
According to all I know and all of what I've read, it's almost impossible to catch it like in a public park, because when you're outside in the open air, the risk of contagion is extremely low.
Yeah, well, you won't get it from that, but you'll get it from objects that everybody needs. So
the safest way to exist is to levitate off the ground. I'm guessing this was like an international issue and not just something we suffered from in the UK. But as soon as everything started, like all of the panic to do with COVID, everyone just started buying all of the hand sanitizer from all of the shops.
Toilet paper for us. It was, I'm not kidding. Like, you could not buy toilet paper anywhere. I remember once I was buying fuel, and I walked into the fuel station and saw one or two like singular rolls of like the shittiest toilet paper ever. And I snatched them up. Because we hadn't been able, like, the grocery aisle, the entire aisle that was toilet paper was just empty, and you couldn't get it anywhere. Like, hand sanitizer and toilet paper was the biggest shortage. I don't know if the toilet paper thing was just an Australian thing or whether that was international, but yeah, hand sanitizer and toilet paper.
The US had it really bad for a few weeks.
Couldn't get it anywhere. People just thought they were going to shit themselves.
I don't think it happened here, or at least I didn't notice. I'd never had an issue buying toilet paper.
They use their hands in France.
I don't know, they all have bidets over there, remember?
It has to do with the toilet paper being pink.
Your toilet paper is the color of your flag?
Ooh, bizarre.
Oh, you just got bazinged. Absolutely wrecked.
But yeah, there was no point in stockpiling hand sanitizer because there was like the quarantine and there's no use for hand sanitizer if you're inside your home. The whole point. That's something that has always blown my mind. I mean, always since March, some people seem to be obsessed about hand sanitizer. But it's like the whole point of hand sanitizer is to use it where there's no running water because it dries off your hands and you don't have to rinse it. But like washing your hands with water and soap is better.
And this is true, right? Small exposure to groups of bacteria is good for your immune system because it sort of develops an immunity, right?
Not really. It's more complicated than this. It depends on which bacteria. It's true for some, but it's also not true for a lot. It doesn't really work like this, sadly. It would be great if it were that simple. And I think like for most viruses, it doesn't work like this at all. We all know some people who got many colds. The common cold is also a form of coronavirus. It's the same family of viruses. So it would be awesome if it worked like this, but it doesn't really, no.
I mean, some bacteria, like you're not, like when you have children, for example, you're supposed to let them like play in the dirt for a bit and stuff because they have to build an immune system. And I'm actually learning, yes. I'm learning all sorts of stuff, like, given that I've just been diagnosed with Crohn's disease and figuring out what all of that means. There is some evidence, a lot of Crohn's disease is, well, we think, but we're not entirely sure, but there's some evidence to suggest that children who had sort of overly clean childhoods are more likely to develop autoimmune diseases like what I have, because my immune system is going crazy and attacking my body for literally no reason. And so I guess it's, yeah, like they're not saying that that's what it's a product of. So having, you know, being an overly clean child and also being on a lot of antibiotics as a child is also something that has been suggested can lead to autoimmune conditions. So it is important to be exposed to some bacteria, but by the same token, like you don't want dangerous pathogens in your body, you know, like, some bacteria, but not others.
You wouldn't deliberately expose yourself to something dangerous.
Well, no.
There is tentative evidence that shows that when you're growing up and your immune system is still, you know, getting formed, it's important that you are in contact to more or less dirty stuff so that it can grow stronger. But yeah, it's not that simple. The most common autoimmune condition is asthma.
I have that as well. So
Shit. Yeah, that sucks.
It's been a sexy time for me. I'm on immunosuppressants and an asthma preventative. So, you know, when I get ready for bed, I put on the lingerie and take my inhaler. So it's a sexy time for me.
Yeah. And then you run to the bathroom.
And then I run to the bathroom to have diarrhea for the third time that day. No, it's way more complicated than that. And I do make jokes because if you don't laugh, you'll cry. And I do both. I do both, apparently. But, like, it is far more complex than that. Apparently, like, mouth ulcers, that's a whole thing that's involved with it. And I've got ulcers on my organs. And that hasn't stopped me from drinking energy drinks every day because until I get the appointment with the dietitian, it's Schrodinger's ulcers. The energy drinks are both simultaneously good and not good for my stomach lining.
Yeah, what's your poison?
My poison, sugar-free V.
Right. I like the blue V. A lot.
Is that an Australian thing? I've not heard of V. Yeah.
This is officially an Australian show. We have two Australians relating to one another over an Australian thing. And nobody else knows what they're talking about.
I bet next they're going to start talking about their ground harnesses and
their pet drop bears.
Wait, ground harness?
You know, to stop them falling into the sky.
Yeah, so we don't fall off.
Because they're upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Steph, do you still use a saddle for your kangaroo? Or do you just free ride?
I actually switched to a dressage saddle. I find it way easier than a stock saddle. I don't know. I find that. I just think it's better. And I think it's a smoother ride for both me and the roo. So that's sort of what I've gone for. And a slimmer girth too. It makes it easier on Joey. So yeah. Yeah, there we go. That's blue V.
Oh, that's a weird color.
That looks like a fucking meme.
Right.
That's not a real thing.
Yes, it is.
That's not a real beverage. That's a shitpost.
Yeah, it is.
But they've just made a sugar-free blue.
That looks disgusting.
Because I will shove any amount of shit food into my head, but like, I'm like,
why does it say blue when it's clearly green?
Why is blue green?
Because it tastes blue.
That would fuck with colorblind people.
My favorite was called Not Orange. Holy it was clearly shit. Orange, but the flavor was called Not Orange.
Wow.
V's really good. V's the best.
Oh, yeah. There's also, I heard, a very popular ice cream in Australia called Golden Gay Time.
Don't even get me started. It ain't a good time unless it's a gay time. Golden Gay Times are my poison, and I have been eating them for years. They are the best fucking night. And I don't care how many different flavors of Golden Gay Time they make. The original is that's the one. So yes, Golden Gay Time's very real, and it's the best ice cream in the world.
It's a great name also.
I don't know if this is related at all, but when I was a kid, I had a friend who was from Australia, and they named their dogs Red and Bluey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Are they red heelers and blue heelers? Then if they're red heelers and blue heelers, then that makes sense.
They were both Cocker Spaniels. They looked exactly the same.
No, that must be a mistake, because in Australia, they're not called dogs. They're called dingoes.
Okay. Well, these were very fluffy, cuddly dingoes named Red and Bluey. And I don't know. Are you guys obsessed with like the color blue and just always naming things blue that aren't blue?
A wife beater that is blue is called a Bluey in Australia.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if this is universal, but I mean, the wife beater, or sometimes I just call it a singlet. It's a whole personality. If you see an Australian man walking down the street wearing a blue singlet, it's got a bit of sweat on it, the bottom of his beer guts hanging out, and he's wearing footy shorts and thongs, and he's got like a can of 4X in his hand. That's a man in a blue singlet. That's the whole personality. And if you say if you say someone's a man in a blue singlet, that's exactly what
same
they are.
Yeah, we have the exact same same thing here, except they're white. But apart from that, we have the exact same stereotype. And they're all obsessed with gambling with the horse races for some reason.
Ours are obsessed with footy.
Another thing that we nickname wife beater here in the UK is the drink Stella. It seems to like be that people in the UK who drink Stella seem to fit that stereotype as well.
The Belgian beer?
Is that a beer?
Stella Artois.
Yeah, it's Stella Artois. Yeah, a lager.
Yeah, it's a beer from Belgium, yeah?
Yeah.
Stella Artois.
Which is funny, because Stella's like a gay import in the US, and so that those would be Budweiser drinkers here.
Right. Yeah, that sounds like maybe a 4X drinker here or something. Horse.
I don't know why the wife beaters or tank tops or whatever you want to call them, here, they're usually called Marcel, which is a name, like a person's name, and I don't know why. There's a proper word for it. It's débardeur, but it's a bit long and annoying to say. So most people just call him like Marcel. I think it's probably because that name is very popular in the Mediterranean zone, like the southeast of France, and these shirts are also very popular in the same area. I don't know, but it's a cultural icon though. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever see Darrow families at the grocery store with no shoes on? Is that a thing?
What?
Wait, what?
Darrow families at the grocery store and they're not wearing any shoes. Like, they just walk around barefoot and they've got the filthiest feet you've ever seen.
You can't not wear shoes at the grocery store.
You can if you're a fucking Darrow.
In Australia, they let you in grocery stores without your shoes on?
Yeah, because we're disgusting.
What the fuck?
This is really low class. Like, we're not talking your regular person just kicks their shoes off to go to the grocery store.
There's a whole phrase here called no shirt, no shoes, no service, and they have it like printed on the door.
Yeah, for like bars and stuff. I mean, you probably couldn't walk into a grocery store and do your shopping if you weren't wearing a shirt. I've never seen that, but they will just let people walk around without shoes on. Because like, if you're gonna be filthy and you want to step like on a used needle or something, then that's a you problem.
That's insane to me that they let people shop without shoes on anywhere in the world.
The people who go to the shops without the shoes on, they're not the people that give many fucks anymore. So, like, if you tell them they can't come in, they'll just go to a different grocery store. Like, they don't... Yeah.
Until they find the one that welcomes shoeless shoppers.
So they'll just be like, oh, fuck you, Woolies, I'm gone Coles. Like, it's not... I don't know, it's not common. It's definitely common in country towns, because I grew up rurally. So where you have that slightly lower SES, you see a bit more of that. But, you know, you don't see it in the city. That's what my ex-partner, he grew up like right in the city, very sophisticated, sort of comes from a very good background. And when I told him that people, and this is an hour's drive away from where I grew up, people would just walk into the shops and do their shopping without shoes on. He basically reacted the way you're reacting. He was like, people go shopping without shoes on, unlike in country towns they do. Like, it's not nice and we don't all accept it, but it's a thing that happens and they just let them do it.
Can't they even wear, like, sandals or flip-flops or something?
I mean, most Australians will wear thongs in the summer, but they will just straight up not wear any shoes.
Is that really?
Like, it's not that they don't have shoes, they just choose not to.
I love that you call them thongs over there. That really gets me.
Yeah.
I've lived in the most rednecky parts of America. I grew up in Iowa and I currently live in Texas, and I've seen a lot of shit, and I see a lot of people that refuse to wear their masks in store, but never have I ever seen that.
So that's an Australian thing.
I grew up in a shithole in the countryside between two farms. It was one of the reasons why I'm salty to have autoimmune conditions, because I grew up, like, literally with pigs and chickens and all that shit, and I still got the asthma and that stuff. But I don't think I have ever seen in my life someone shopping without shoes on.
Really?
Like, yeah, flip-flops or thongs, yes. Sandals, yes. But
that's normal. Barefoot. Like, that's fine. But it, like,
yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, it's it's already borderline, in my opinion.
Really?
Not a fan of it.
What? You don't like seeing their toes or something? They're still shoes.
I mean, I think it's, like, justified if it's, like, 40 degrees outside. Then yes. Above 35, I get it. I've done it like a couple times maybe when there was like really hot summer. But apart from that, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I'm feeling a little called out. I wear these like Birkenstock style sandals a lot, but I think that's just part of my weird aesthetic with the Hawaiian shirts, in all honesty.
Do you wear them with socks or without?
No. They're without socks. No.
Nice. You just saved yourself.
No. I'm not some kind of monster.
morals.
I've only ever worn socks with them once, and that was because I was invited to a party and I was told the theme was to dress like you're an alien that doesn't understand how human culture works.
Oh, that's good.
That's the one situation, and the socks I wore were bright yellow socks with aubergines on them.
Oh my god.
When people asked about them, I was just like, yes, the humans, they send each other this picture and they find it funny.
Yeah, we draw the line at socks with sandals here. We're not Linus Tech Tips.
People with thongs to do everything, like, that's not even blinked at. Like, that's shoes. That's acceptable. That's fine. Like, if you've got something between your soles and the floor, like, fine. It's just barefoot that's gross. But I see people, this is actually a bit, I'm like, are you right? I see people on a Sunday mowing their lawns and they're like all whippersnipping and they've just got their thongs on. I'm like, you're going to get your foot cut off. Like, are you wearing your best safety thongs there, are you, mate?
I'm going to end up spraying your toes all over your garden.
Yeah, gross. Like a nice bit of blood fertilizing for the flowers.
I've gone shopping in bare feet, by the way.
What?
Twice.
Why?
Giles.
I thought I knew you, man.
That's a thing that happens in Australia. It's like, people do it. I'm not a fan, but people do it.
Fuck is wrong with your country?
We just don't care. I actually did do it once when I was, like, little. Like,
oh, my God.
I was a child.
How the turns have tabled.
No, I was a child, okay?
How the turn tables.
I was a child. I didn't know any better. I just saw that other people were doing it, and I just wanted desperately to be like someone else. And I was like,
oh, this is how endemic shoeless shopping is in Australia.
Damn.
Y'all need help.
I mean, it's worth making a point that it's so not normal that people don't wear shoes in a shop. I may have used a double negative there, I don't know. That even the band LMFAO once made a point about how they can wear no shoes and no shirt and still get service.
I'm dropping a photo in the chat to what I thought that you guys meant by blue tank tops.
But they're never those men wearing them. I need you to understand that no man who would walk around in public in a singlet like that looks like that. They all have no right. They all have no right to be wearing those singlets, and yet they are.
That's what they think they look like.
Admittedly, I wear tank tops like that, but I do wear my shirts over them. I don't just wear the tank tops.
Thanks for the virtue signaling.
Yeah.
That guy only drinks light beer, and he blends it with protein powder.
Oh, God, of course he does.
You've got to have one of my protein beers in the morning, bro.
Oh, that needs to be a thing.
Light beer is such a foreign and exotic concept. Like, it just does not exist here. And it's always hard for me to wrap my head around what is light beer and why do people drink it? And what the fuck is all that about?
I think it's like Diet Coke, but for people who like beer.
When you want to be drunk, but you don't want the calories.
I'm pretty sure that light beer has more calories than regular beer.
Well, maybe it's an alcohol content thing.
No, there's blonde ale, but like light beer means low calorie beer.
Oh, that's weird. That's very surprising.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's light colored beer, and then there is beer that's light on the calories.
There's a lot of stuff that Americans just like sticking the word light onto.
Yeah.
Just to say that it's something else. I can't remember who I was having this conversation with the other day, but I remember there being this company who went by like the name AIDS.
Oh.
Okay.
They used to go by the name AIDS, but then the AIDS epidemic started in the 80s, and they were like, right, how are we going to solve this problem? How are we going to start marketing ourselves? Instead of choosing an entirely different name, they just started calling themselves AIDS Light.
Oh, what? Like, nice. Just a less severe version?
Diet AIDS?
If I remember correctly, I think it might have been like a dieting company or even a company who make food. And they would start using in their ads, they would start being like, oh yeah, lose weight with AIDS.
Nice. And
it was really, really bad.
I love this.
Wow.
But yeah, but the Americans just stick light on everything.
They also supersize everything.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hmm.
Two extremes.
Not anymore. Ever since that documentary came out, we've really been trying to cosplay health on all of our fast food.
I saw actually in a Facebook group I'm in, somebody posted, I can't even remember what group it was, but somebody posted a picture of them pouring themselves like a cup of juice. And they were like, do you guys have any juice that's like, they were in visiting the States, and they were like, do you guys have any juice that's like just fruit juice? Like, this kind of just seems like cordial. And they're like, oh, like if you want something like that, you have to like go to Whole Foods or something. I'm like, you make it sound like a vegan store. How is that not just the default juice? Like, why are you like, oh, this is cherry flavored like sugar syrup and we're calling it juice? Like, that's not what juice is. It looked awful. I was like, goodness me. And I also tried Lucky Charms and I was like, y'all eat this shit for breakfast? Like, it was so sweet. I was like...
Yeah, it's just pure fucking sugar. It's
pure sugar. Like, I couldn't... Like, so many...
Corn
like,
syrup or something.
Have some trash cereals, but, like... sorry. But, like, you know, we also have a lot of cereals that are aimed at, like, having whole grains and stuff in them so that they're filling. And, like, Australian kids are Weet-Bix kids. Like, that's our whole thing. So, yeah, the sugary, like the sugar content in some American foods, like it's still, I'm not that healthy, but it's too much for me still, you know?
Yeah, the one thing that really shocked me that I tried for the first time a couple years ago is like baked beans, like, you know, the Heinz beans. It tastes like sugar.
Yeah.
Why? Why is it so sugary? It's weird.
The Heinz beans are one of the most normalized foods in the UK. Like, we will have, I personally don't like baked beans, but people of the UK will have like beans on toast. They will just eat beans from the can. They'll have beans in a bowl. They'll mix beans into foods that don't really need baked beans in them. Like, I once had a bolognese that someone had put baked beans in.
Mm.
And I'm like, what the hell are you doing to this? I just want a normal bolognese. Stop putting your fucking baked beans in it.
Although, you know what's really nice? Something called Cincinnati chili. which is chili on top of spaghetti with shredded cheddar cheese on top of the chili.
Ooh.
It's very nice.
So that just sounds like bolognese with extra steps.
Exactly.
Wait, I thought it had like chocolate in it or something.
Yeah, it tastes fine even if you just use regular chili, but ideally you're going to add chocolate and cinnamon to the chili.
Cincinnati, that's where Harambe was murdered. Yep. So I'm not surprised.
Can I get an F in the chat?
Yeah, dicks out.
always.
Ohio is a dreadful place.
It's a great town.
I've had chili with dark chocolate in before, and it is actually really good.
One of my favorite cities.
That's also in Ohio that the Burger King foot lettuce happened.
Yeah.
It's a dreadful, nasty place, Ohio.
Sorry, I fucking love Burger King foot lettuce. Oh, that man, Burger King foot lettuce man, is my king. The power, the power, the presence he exudes in that image, incredible. I absolutely idolize him. I mean, not the people who ate the lettuce, that sucks for them, but for me, it's really funny. That Cincinnati bolognese, I just need to say, you really brush that off as sounding like a normal dish, and then you were like, I mean, ideally there's chocolate in it. Like, ideally there's chocolate in it. I'm like, okay, so yeah. Wait, is this a dessert or is it a main course? Because you can't leave the chocolate out and be like, oh yeah, like sometimes there's chocolate. Like we're normal.
Okay.
Like, no.
Honestly, when I worked in the kitchen last year, I made Cincinnati chili a lot, and I would always make it from scratch, and I would always add chocolate and cinnamon to it, working off of a recipe. And it was started by, I think, a Moroccan immigrant that was like, yeah, let's just do this Mediterranean spiced chili and put it on top of spaghetti. I think in the 1900s is when they started serving it, and it's been just a really popular regional dish there ever since, and it's amazing. But I've also just used regular chili from the can and put it on spaghetti, and it's just as good. But yeah, so ideally you want it to be chocolate and cinnamon, and it's a Mediterranean influence thing.
But is it a sweet dish or is it a savory dish? This is what
it's savory. It's savory with cocoa powder. If you've never tried a bean dip that's seasoned with
bean chocolate
powder
dip.
Or with cocoa powder, it's also very good.
What the fuck?
This is confusing to my palate, but...
Okay, so if you eat a lot of Mexican food like we do here, mole sauce is a like pretty common staple, and it's a chili sauce with cocoa in it.
You shouldn't say mole sauce because mole means sauce.
I'm just trying to be specific for those who have never heard of mole before, that it is a sauce.
There's a lot of moles, like for example, guacamole, it means avocado sauce. I think the one with the chocolate is called mole poblano. It's relatively famous in the world. I've heard about this several times in cooking shows. You know what really freaks me out though? Deep dish pizza. Like, what the fuck is this shit?
Like Chicago style.
Yeah, that looks insane, but not in a good way.
Like a thick crust.
Like you make the pizza in a dish.
It's like pizza, but they made it in the shape of a cake.
What?
It's like super weird. It looks disgusting.
There's nothing to be afraid of about deep dish pizza.
Do you reckon they went to make a pizza and they didn't have like a pizza tray? They had just like a cake dish instead. So they're like, right, we're going to cook it in here instead because that's all we have. Then they were like, right, we're going to start telling people that this is a thing we came up with. It's going to be our thing now, okay?
That sounds like a mistake that was made. And they're like, great, let's keep it. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. You could say the same thing about the USA in general.
Oh, I mean...
Yeah, no, I think I should leave, honestly. I've been entertaining. Like, I don't belong... None of us belong here.
Let's be real. Australia and America would not exist if not for the mistakes of my people.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, so, we literally come from convicts that you couldn't fit anymore. Like, that's it. Like, you send a bunch of convicts to Australia, and then we, like, all, like, fucked and made lots of convict babies, and, like, I mean, it's a bit more complicated than that, but that's where it began.
Are you a crime baby? You could be rewarded compensation.
Yeah, and we are the ones who sent money and military help to make these colonies become actual countries, just because
fuck the English.
Yeah.
Yep.
Straight up, fuck the English.
That was pretty much the whole...
I don't know. I think I'm ready to go back to Europe. I'm kind of done with this place.
Yeah.
Where would you go?
Well, I'm actually... I qualified to be a German citizen because my grandma had been exiled from Germany. But I guess once I'm a citizen of the EU, then I can live anywhere I want to in the European Union.
Yeah.
Just remember, that doesn't include the UK. Hashtag Brexit.
Anywhere but the UK.
There's a couple of exceptions, like Switzerland also, that was never part of the European Union and has no intention of becoming one.
Yeah.
I think the most determining things will be like, what weather do you enjoy and what kind of food do you enjoy? Because that's the biggest thing that makes a difference between European countries. It's weather and food.
There's potato Europe and there's tomato Europe.
Yeah, exactly. Very true. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably just going to have to fuck around and find out.
Yeah. France is a very good place if you can't make up your mind, because we have a lot of different climates and a lot of different cuisines all around the country. Well, I think we're the largest country in Europe by size of land.
Landmass, yeah.
I thought Russia was part of Europe.
Yeah, I don't think it is, no.
It's like it's part of Asia.
No, say.
Russia's part of everywhere. It's not your continent, it's our continent.
Russia is the world.
Usually we talk about people of Europe. We use the term Caucasian in reference to the mountains of Caucasia, and these mountains are in Russia. So...
Okay, so Russia is 39% of Europe.
Only 39.
But in just 39. Eastern Europe. And then I guess part of what you reach a portion of Russia where it's suddenly Asia now.
I see.
Yeah, my ancestors are from the sort of bit in the middle. Fun fact.
The Ural region?
I think so.
I see.
I don't want to move to Russia. Let's just be clear about that. Not interested.
I've heard they're always going really fast all the time. You know, that's why they call them Russians.
That was terrible.
Probably most of my ancestry comes from either Russia or Poland. But... yeah, I really don't want to live in either of those places.
I don't know if the O'Shea tipped you off, but my ancestors are Irish, so I've got the fair skin and the surname to match. And my grandma, she's absolutely obsessed with that fact. She always likes to talk about the fact that we're Irish. I'm like, you were born and raised in Australia. Like, don't. You know we're Italian because we're Irish and Italian. Sorry, it sort of changes by each day which one she says that we are. I mean, we're descendants of both, but that doesn't make me anything other than Australian. I'm just a very pale Australian, so.
That's weird. People who are obsessed about their distant origins, or even the more recent ones. I never understood this. It's so fucking weird to me.
Yeah, but you're just all French.
What?
I wonder if it's like something to do with perhaps feeling a slight level of shame for where it is you're actually living. Oh. It's like you have to be like, I've got to disassociate myself to my actual homeland in any way possible.
That makes sense, actually, yeah.
The US is a very embarrassing place to be in, so.
I feel for you guys there.
To be fair, there's also some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
We all love bands or movies or stuff that was produced and created there. So it's not, I don't think we should just throw the baby with the bathwater.
I'm an American. I can throw out whatever I want.
We don't need to shoot the baby with the bathwater.
I'll throw out this whole goddamn country.
Prepare your bathwater gun.
Bathwater super soaker. Soak the shit out of this sack of shit.
It reminds me of that 4chan green text. It's like, be me, American, go to school, don't get shot because school shootings are a statistical anomaly and outliers and they're actually pretty rare. And then get molested by teacher.
Oh, that sounds pretty hardened.
Oh, wow. Fuck.
Yeah.
That's rough. You know, obviously America's not all shit, but it's kind of fun to just poke shit at it. And you gotta put the blame somewhere, and we're all very angry, and 2020's been a bullshit fucking year.
Yeah.
And we want to be angry at someone.
Why are you guys defending my bullshit country? I don't know.
America is the bullied kid at the back of a class who hides the gun in their backpack.
Yeah, we don't want you to lash out at us and shoot us or something.
That would be so American.
Yeah.
Such an American move.
You should have a gunshot sound effect. It just goes off.
We don't want you to try and make this podcast great again.
Was it ever great?
I thought it was the worst on the internet.
It was never great. That's the point.
I'm sure not going to start now.
Yeah.
Look, I think it's got way less pressure. If you're going to tell people it's a great fucking podcast, then there's a lot of pressure. But if you say, hey, you signed up for garbage, garbage is what you're going to get, way less stress.
I mean, there's a reason why they call it shit posting.
There you go.
Shit casting.
We're shit casting.
Exactly. Yeah, shit casting.
The subgenre.
Literally what we're doing right now.
Pretty much, yeah.
It even sounds like some kind of weird activity. It's like how you cover a field in manure.
Shit casting. Yeah, shit casting.
Or a weird sub variety of magic in a role playing game. Yes, I am a fecomancer. Why do you ask?
That would be useful.
Shit casting could also just be a new name for Crohn's disease, really, and that could be what the doctors say I have, and that'll be another sexy thing to put on the Tinder profile, won't it? Shit casting.
Are we all chronically single here?
Chronically single.
I was in a relationship last year, and I'm not anymore, so... Yeah.
Last year was 50 years ago.
50 years in COVID years.
Yeah, yeah, feels like January was so many years ago.
Yeah.
It really does.
I wouldn't call myself chronically single. I have been in relationships for most of my life, ever since I was 16. Recently, not much, but it's kind of a good thing, because like with COVID-19, I'm completely annoyed about meeting people, so... Dating is like not something I'm enthusiastic about, so maybe later, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh god, the most embarrassing thing happened yesterday though. I had to go for this MRI and I was pretty nervous because I really don't like needles and I didn't know that they were going to put a cannula in my arm, which is just the worst. So I'm in this like baggy robe having a bit of a breakdown and my radiologist comes out and I'm not kidding. He was the hottest man I'd ever seen in my entire life and he's poking at my veins. I'm like, you would be a gentle and sensual lover, and I can just tell. But I'm thinking this. I had makeup on, but I'm like, this dude is not seeing me at my best. Like I'm sort of lying there, like on strapped to the MRI table, trying to hold really still while he puts a like tube in my arm, and I'm like, and he's like, you're doing so great. And I'm like, thank you. And I'm like, even if he thought the robe, he saw something through the robe, and he was like, oh, that's all right. He'd be like, this bitch is a fucking mess. So it was at my absolute worst, and I had this god like taking care of me, and I walked away thinking, I could not possibly have made a worse impression of myself.
Sounds like the beginning of a fan fiction.
But he was so nice too. Like I had to be in that tube for over an hour, and he kept coming in through the headphones being like, you're doing so well. And I was like, talk to me more. Like,
you just say, do you take this good care of all the girls, or do we have something here?
You're being really brave. I bet you say that to all the girls. Like,
I had a very attractive therapist at one point, this Italian woman. She looked maybe like 30 something, like 32, just like quite young. And yeah, it made it very difficult for me to talk about like issues with my mom. Or, like, just stuff where I was like, I don't want to look just pathetic to this person.
Yeah, probably not the best therapist to have, one that you want to bone.
Yeah, nice.
That sounds like one of those proper Freud moments.
Yeah.
Or an improper Freud moment.
Well, this guy's like scanning, he's MRIing my belly, and all I could think is like, if I get like gassy, can you see it? Is he watching it in real time?
Doctors can smell your nerves.
And I'm like, he's literally watching, like photographing like my intestines moving. Like this is probably the least sexy encounter we could possibly have had. Oh, tragic.
Yeah, well, he's already been inside you, so.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It gets a boundary out the way.
If I ever have to get another MRI from him again, I'll be like, yes, yeah, so last time you were inside me, you said like this, I'll slide it in there and see what the reaction is. Yeah.
The little neuro-linguistic programming, just like drop some suggestions in your language.
I'll say words really slowly. I'll be like, so do you want to insert the cannula into my vein?
Oh. Yeah, swallow like some fridge magnets or something that say like, can I have your number?
I might die though. Like the downside to that would be my death. Like via magnet.
He'll nurse you back to health.
I'll be like, oh please, like operate on me, doctor, because I'm in incredible agony.
Isn't that a whole thing where like people make themselves sick so somebody else will have to take care of them? What's the word for that?
That's Munchausen syndrome. Yeah. That's Munchausen syndrome. Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Munchausen syndrome by proxy is when they hurt other people.
Yep.
So that they can then dote on them.
Yeah. It reminds me of that story of that guy who wanted to date the surgeon, but he didn't know how to, you know, break the ice. So he just, like, put a lot of flowers inside his asshole.
I beg your pardon.
Oh god.
So yeah, I gotta have surgery to remove him, and like that was the flowers were for you, doctor, or some shit like this. I don't remember the details.
Oh my goodness, that's what?
I can't tell if that's insane or smooth.
Yeah. Often the line.
Yeah, I can't tell.
When insanity and romance just meet on that very fine line.
Yeah, exactly. Very blurred line.
You have one of those line graphs that has the upwards curve. It's like insanity 5, smoothness 5, and it just curves upwards.
Exactly, yeah.
There were so many places that could have gone wrong. Like, what if he'd spent all the time putting the flowers in his asshole and then his GP had just given him a laxative? Then he had flowers in his asshole plus diarrhea and he never got to see the surgeon. Like, there's so many places.
It would be like a magic trick. It's like, I'm going to pull flowers out of this sleeve.
It might have been a fake flowers made of plastic, but I think that... more importantly, the story was fake.
I mean, probably, but it's probably. Fun to tell.
Not sure if it was legit.
I want to believe.
I mean, anecdotally, it's still entertaining.
It's that's fun. It's fun sure. to tell.
It's creative, that's for sure.
We don't have to believe it. It's horse shit, but it's fun to tell.
Absolutely.
One of those urban myths.
Do you believe in flowers up my ass?
Do.
Echoes up my ass.
Speaking of Mama Mia, here we go again.
Yeah. It's all full circle.
Everything goes back to Cher.
It's all full ring.
Cher's involvement in Mamma Mia 2 was fun and great, but she shouldn't have been the grandmother because it was established that she was dead. Dead and buried.
I loved how much build-up went to that she would be in the film at some point, and there she was for 5 minutes right at the end. But it was like, they kept mentioning the mother, like, oh, Cher's gonna come.
And it was the most contrived way to get her to sing Fernando. The series of events that had to lead up to her singing Fernando for it. Like, always the weakness with jukebox musicals is that the story is written around the songs. And in Mamma Mia 1, I think it worked pretty well. Mamma Mia 2, though, just felt really tangled, and they really had to work Fernando in there to write this side love story of this guy whose first name we didn't know, and then Cher sees him, and it turns out his name's Fernando and they used to be lovers, and then she sings Fernando, and I'm like, oh, you've taken away the beauty of Mamma Mia, aren't you? Like, that's not what Mamma Mia is about.
What is this movie even about?
What do you mean, what is Mamma Mia about?
Because I vaguely heard about it, but
How can we begin to explain?
It's just a girl thing, bro.
No, shut up, it's an everyone thing.
This is what happens when you add in another woman.
Mamma Mia is for everyone.
No, I've seen them both.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I tried to take my ex-boyfriend and my dad to go see it, and I was the only person that was happy, so...
I don't understand. It brings me so much joy. It's such a good film. Amanda Seyfried is our main character. Meryl Streep is her mom, and, like, Amanda Seyfried's getting married, and the wedding's happening, and they live on a little Greek island, and she doesn't know her dad is, and there's 3 possible dads, and just for drama, she invites them all but doesn't tell her mom, and she tries to figure out which one is her dad.
What the fuck?
And that's like the story, that there's a lot of ABBA and a lot of Meryl Streep, and it's absolutely fantastic. And the dance sequences are phenomenal. The dancing and the singing and the choreography and everything is just the best ever. And it's just the greatest film of all time. And if you don't agree, then you're wrong and I'm sorry.
Sounds weird.
It doesn't. It's what you mean to say is it sounds phenomenal.
They're not gay. None of them.
That's not true. One of the dads is gay.
I know, like, you know, statistically, what, 1 out of 3 guys is going to be gay or something, but none of them are in this podcast.
Not yet.
Wait for the government chemicals to kick in.
Wait for the 5G.
First, the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, we're next in line.
First the frogs, then the humans.
Designer chemtrail.
Gucci chemtrails.
It boggles my mind how, in the midst of, like, a global pandemic, people like anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers are so, like, you'd think this would be the one time where we could all band together, but, like, the cockheads want to come out in full force, don't they? And just prove what truly what cockheads they are. Even in the worst possible circumstances, they're like, oh, if you ever want to read comments by a bunch of dumbass fucking boomers, just read the comments on every coronavirus related news article posted by, like, 7 News Brisbane or 7 News anywhere on Facebook.
Anywhere.
And they're always
Sky News as well.
Oh, Sky News, just it's crazy. They're just the worst. The worst. It's never self-care to read the comments, and yet I always do, and then get really angry and get in a Facebook argument with a 60-year-old.
Like, if you ever want to wake up in the morning, read the comments, and that will just get your blood going.
Honestly,
better than coffee or eating an apple.
A COVID comment section a day keeps a doctor away.
Or keeps the doctor near, because I get high blood pressure, like, just from reading it, like, my eyes start to pulse. I'm like, you can't be this stupid. Like, you couldn't possibly be this stupid. And yet they are. Like, it's unbelievable, and yet it's true.
I wonder how much is, like, Paul's law, because I wonder how much is, like, genuine stupidity and how much is performative stupidity. And I think that one of the dangers of this is, like, a lot of people leave these kind of comments, but it's, like, just for fun or for trolling, or they don't believe it.
Yeah.
But when the actual stupid people see this, they feel vindicated, and there's, like, oh, I am not alone.
Yeah.
And that reinforces. I think that has been happening a lot in social media. And that's one of the dangers of the... I love the internet and I love social media, but that's definitely one of the biggest pitfalls.
Yeah. I think it's this particular demographic, though, the 7 News, like Australia or Sky News in Australia, the particular demographic that it's aimed towards tend to be the same demographic that are genuine. Usually you can tell in the comments who's sort of a younger person and who's trolling, but others are just genuinely fucking idiots, like, and that's what's... But I do agree, like, the danger of people trolling and then idiots feeling vindicated by that is very real. But yeah, it's a nest. It's the perfect haven, this the demographic and the people who follow it and the content that they're posting. It's just an absolute haven for these kinds of people to come out in force. And it's not self-care, but, you know, if you want to feel infuriated, do it anyway.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird, that kind of mindset, where you're just gonna believe some weird shit, some weird conspiracy stuff. I'm not sure why. I mean, there's some psychological stuff that's going on. Like, there's one called illusory pattern perception, where people will see patterns where there is just randomness. And people who are more susceptible to things like pareidolia have a tendency to be believers in, like, weird shit rather than logical stuff. But it's hard to really understand what some people will believe, that Bill Gates want to make vaccines to put microchips inside of us or whatever stupid shit. There's a lot right now. I don't know if it's getting worse or if it's just that these people are getting more visible.
They're less afraid of talking out openly because they are gathering in, like, hive minds on the internet and echo chambers.
Yeah.
I think the big difference between now and before social media is that everything can have an equal amount of visibility. Whereas before, these people existed, but they were only just publishing their own zines and putting them on their own conferences for each other, and the mainstream never heard about it. Now, anybody in the mainstream can have access to this shit and start thinking to themselves, that sounds plausible. So they're just building up more of a following.
It used to just be people in their basements and their GeoCities websites. And
I think there's also the feeling of, we have grown up in a relatively, you know, peaceful time, safe of any kind of revolution or real war, you know, anything like that. And war and revolution and things like that, it leads to lots of deaths and it's terrible. But there's also, you know, as we all know, there's a certain level of glory to it. and revolutions are always started by people who thought against the mainstream. And I guess these people want a taste of that almost. They want to feel special. They want to feel like they're a part of something that goes against the mainstream. And maybe in their minds, they think of themselves as correct or justified revolutionaries. And because they've not really, in their minds, not been a part of anything special, they're looking for something to set them apart from the rest and looking for something that makes them different, makes them special, makes them stand out. As they all like to say, I'm not like you sheeple.
That's an interesting theory.
I don't know. I feel like there's a little bit of glory seeking there and a little bit of, you know, their lives have been relatively peaceful and quiet, and doing something like that, doing something crazy, you know, and it might not be a conscious decision, but it does make them a part of something else or in their mind, something bigger or something special or something different or something revolutionary.
Yeah.
Nice.
I agree with that very much from my experience.
Oh, God.
Your theory totally might be right. I like how it sounds. It sounds like it makes a lot of sense.
You can tell by the way they speak that they really consider themselves special, like a part of something really special. They've got secret knowledge. They understand something that we don't. And really, you know, that superiority that they feel of in their minds being a part of something bigger.
I grew up in a town that was really dominated by a lot of these people because they were all together practicing this meditation movement. My mom used to take me to workshops on how to channel angels and like how to find secret portals to like time jump to like other realms and stuff. And
did you retain those powers?
I'm just saying that what Stephanie's describing is like to me is pretty accurate of like people really seeing themselves like delusionally as the center of their own hero story and willing to like take on whatever set of beliefs that kind of makes them in the middle of their own movie of their lives.
Like the Joker.
Yeah, like the Joker.
I feel like this is what you'd say if you were like secretly Faye and you learned incredible powers and now you're just hiding them from us.
I definitely agree, though, that people in general who think they're special, who think they're different, that's really bad for their mind. That really turns them into shitheads or idiots.
Yeah.
A lot of beliefs are cancer for the mind. And I definitely notice that people who think they're not special and who would rather find what they have in common with other people, rather what they have that is different, tend to be much better adjusted. And it's not good to be proud to be different because that makes you kind of like against society, and society is good. It's a terrible way of saying it. It could use much better phrasing, but I guess you catch my drift.
Are some people special, though?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
I think, like, everyone is, oh, God, I mean, as every parent ever has said, like, everyone is special in their own way, and there are people who that we can say, yeah, like, I know how that sounds, but there are people who we can objectively say, oh, they're very good at this particular skill. Like, this person, you know, is a very good singer, but that doesn't make them inherently, that doesn't make their value as a person more or less special. It just makes them very talented in one field, you know? Like, we're not going to say that, you know, Idina Menzel's life is worth more than mine because she's on Broadway and because she's an incredible singer and because she's, you know, does movies and things like that. That doesn't, as far as inherent value goes, make her more or less special. So I agree with you saying that, yeah, nobody's really more or less special than anybody else. People can be talented, but I just don't think that anyone is more or less inherently special than another person.
I think it's very bad to have this kind of mindset, because you took an example of someone who's a really good singer, and someone who's a really good singer is because they've put a lot of work into it and they've practiced a lot day after day after day. So it's kind of poisonous to say that some people like is just good at this and that makes them special, because it negates all the work that they've put into it and the efforts that they've made. It's very poisonous. It's a mindset that is very toxic, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Someone who's talented is someone who's worked their ass off to get a skill.
It takes a lot of time.
Hey, we got to wrap it up.
Anyone wants to have a closing statement? No, I know everyone will have a closing statement. You know, go ahead.
I'll say thank you very much for letting me join, and this has been a lot of fun, and I've really enjoyed talking to you guys.
Shared pleasure. Mutual feelings.
I'm going to say thank you for listening and for staying woke and not being a sheeple.
Nanomachines in the water, and Neuralink. No, that's all I got.
Okay. I will say thank you for being a part of my society, and may your pedophiles always stay softened.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, yeah. Make podcasting great again. Thanks everyone for listening. The theme song of this podcast is Groove Selector by Shred. You can find us on every listening app, especially if you're listening to us on Facebook or YouTube, because we're not making any money from Facebook or YouTube. So if you want to support us, please listen on like Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any audio streaming app. There's a lot of great episodes that are coming soon, a lot of great guests. Thanks for keeping up with us, and we'll be back soon. Bye-bye.